So much hinges on how we answer this question, who am I? Because our sense of self, our identity, our being informs our behaving. And our behaving forms who we end up becoming.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We're glad you're with us today. And we're in our series in Philippians. And Pastor Philip, we're talking about identity. Paul is going to talk about identity. Who am I?
That's the question. It's one of the most important questions, right? It's a question our culture is asking. It's a question each one of us ask. We need a durable sense of self in the world. And so the question is, who am I? And Paul's going to show us there's a distinctively Christian way of understanding our identity in Christ that is distinct from all other identity formation strategies. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church as we explore how to find genuine, lasting approval. This is part one of the sermon, The Basics of Identity.
Who am I? It's one of the most important questions of our lives. Who am I? Well, I'm a pastor, but that's not who I am, that's what I do. I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a husband, I'm a father. But that's not who I am. That's what I am to others. I'm a cyclist, I'm a teacher, I'm a shepherd, a leader, a traveler, a diner, a nature lover, a coffee snob with a mildly obsessive compulsive disorder. Okay, major. Obsessive compulsive disorder. I'm better than I used to be. See, that's dirty right there. That's all right. Anyway, you should have seen me 15 years ago. Now, but back to our question, who am I? It's not as easy as we might think, is it? When you strip away all the roles that we play, all the hats we wear, all the things we do, who are we really? Essentially, at the very core of who we are, our deepest identity, who are we? And so much hinges on how we answer this question, who am I? Because our sense of self, our identity, our being informs our behaving. And our behaving forms who we end up becoming. Being leads to behaving, leads to becoming. And the Apostle Paul is going to take us back to the basics of identity this morning. It's what our passage is all about. So open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 down to 11. There are three basic identity formation strategies we can employ to gain a sense of self in life. And Paul's going to walk us through all three of them this morning. They are, just to give it to you all up front, affirmation, an affirmation-based identity, which is where we're looking to others. Achievement, which is a success-based identity, looking to ourselves. And abiding, an abiding-based identity found in looking to Christ. And my guess is that if you're like me, you're probably operating on a combination of two or more of these strategies. We're not purists. We blend things together. And so my prayer this morning is that the Lord would help dissect our identity, help us sort out where we're leaning on the wrong things. Only one of these identity formation strategies works at the end, in the end. Only one works. So let's pray and ask the Lord to do some soul surgery this morning. Father, we lay out on the table, as it were, and we invite you to pierce into our soul, to separate joint from marrow, soul and spirit. Let your word divide and conquer and expose and heal who we are. We invite you to do some soul surgery this morning on our deepest identity. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the first identity formation strategy that Paul interacts with here is an affirmation-based identity, looking to others. Chapter 3, verse 1, he opens with a reminder. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me, and it's safe for you. It always cracks me up. He starts out with, finally, you think he's wrapping up. He has two more chapters to go. He's actually at the midpoint of the letter, kind of like my sermons, right? Yeah. Finally, my brothers, we could say, and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. He says, rejoice in the Lord. I want you to find your life's joy in the Lord. Don't find your life's joy in your good bill of health, not in your bank account statement, not in the number of Twitter followers you have, not in your good looks or your credit rating or your career progression or your social standing or your public accolades. No. Because you could find your life's joy in all those things, but that's not who you really are. Paul says, brothers and sisters, find your life's joy in the Lord. Rejoice in Him and Him alone. Rejoice in who He is and all He's done. Rejoice in who you are in Him. Remember, He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Christ is our life, and our life in Christ is joyous. So rejoice. Friends, if your life is hidden in Christ today, rejoice. Oh, that's terrible. Rejoice. Is your life hidden in Christ this morning? Rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, look out for the dogs. What just happened? Hold on. Look out for the dogs. Look out for those evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we're the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. That's kind of a rough transition, isn't it? It's just rejoice. Watch out for those dogs. What's going on? There's a connection. He says, look, I want you to find your life's joy in the Lord and the Lord alone. And so I got to warn you about these dogs because they're out to steal your joy. Who are these dogs, these evildoers, these mutilators of the flesh, as Paul calls them? Well, they're a first century group that is known as the Judaizers. They caused a lot of trouble for Paul. The Judaizers taught that it was not enough for Gentiles, that would be non-Jewish converts to Christianity, believers in Christ. It's not enough for them to believe in Jesus. That if the Gentiles are to be fully accepted by God, they have to become Jews. They have to become Jewish, become circumcised, follow the Jewish law, eat kosher. If you want the Jewish Messiah, you have to have a Jewish way of life. And even though the apostles had all agreed at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 that the Gentiles were saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that they did not need to become Jewish to be full members of the new covenant family of God, these Judaizers wouldn't give up. The Judaizers traveled all around and they told baby Gentile believers in Jesus that they were second-class citizens until they became Jewish. They would say, if you want God's love and approval, it's not enough to trust in Jesus. You need to become Jewish as well. In other words, they were adding to the gospel. Do you see that? Jesus isn't enough. You need to be circumcised too. And Paul says, I want you to watch out for those guys, those dogs. That's what they called Gentiles. Those dogs, he flips it around on them. those evildoers. They were self-righteous, but he calls them evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. That's a reference to circumcision. They're frauds, he says. We're the true circumcision, circumcised in the heart, not the body. We worship by the Spirit of God who has filled us and sealed us as full members of the new covenant family of God. We glory in Christ Jesus, not in, we hope in him alone. We don't place confidence in our flesh, in body parts. In other words, Paul is saying, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ alone, if you're in Christ, you've got the real deal. First-class citizenship. You belong to Christ. The core issue here is that God had welcomed the Gentiles. That would be people like you and me, mostly. He had welcomed them by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, but the Judaizers wouldn't approve of them until they met all their expectations. And Paul counters that. He says, your identity is in Christ alone. You don't look to others for approval or affirmation. You look to Christ alone. Because the first identity formation strategy that Paul hints at here is an affirmed identity, where we find our sense of self in the approval of others. We find our sense of self in the approval of others. For many of us, this is how we first formed our sense of self. It's natural. It's natural to seek the approval of others, especially when we're young. We have parents and teachers and peers and professors and bosses and colleagues and spouses. There's always somebody to please, yes? And so it feels good to be popular, to be respected, to fit in, to be liked and valued and honored and affirmed. And so it's all too easy for us to build our sense of identity around the affirmation of other people. And there's a number of problems with this kind of identity formation strategy, but let me just give you four of them. First, it leads to an anxious identity. Anxious, because you can't please everyone. What wins the approval of one person may bring another person's disapproval, yes? And then you're caught in the middle, you're torn, you don't know what to do, you have an identity crisis. Who am I? I'm full of anxiety because I can't resolve the tension of pleasing everyone. Secondly, it's an unstable identity. Tides of opinion change, friends, change rapidly. People are fickle. Human approval can shift like the wind. One day you're in and you're the hero, and the next day you're out and everyone's booing you. Third, it's exposing. It's an exposed identity. It gives enormous power to other people. Do you realize this? When you live for the approval of other people, you will die by their criticism. When you live for approval, you will die by criticism. You're so easily manipulated, and so am I. Fourth, it's exhausting because you're never enough. You're never enough. Keeping up with people's expectations is a never-ending chase, and we will never arrive. It's a treadmill to nowhere. And Paul says, your identity, your joyous life is found not in the approval of the Judaizers or anyone else. It is found in Christ alone.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy. We are glad you are with us today as we dig deeper into the dangers of affirmation-based identity. Pastor Philip, I'm praying today that as our listeners are tuning in today, that somebody is going to be liberated today. So I'm just going to ask you, we'll dive right in, this approval-seeking cycle. First of all, how would somebody even recognize that they're trapped in that cycle?
Yeah. Well, I think all of us are at some level. I know how this trap feels from the inside. When you're living for the approval or the affirmation of other people, when you care a lot about what they think or what their opinion is of you, what happens, here's how you know if you're in the trap. If praise, really inflates you. You know, you just, you get a kind word and it just swells you up and you just feel like, man, I'm on top of the world. It just goes to your head, you know? Or if conversely, if criticism comes in and it just wrecks you, you know, it's not just, oh yeah, I could work on that, but it like pierces you down and rattles the core of your, who you are. That's a sign that you're living for the approval of others. You're addicted to their affirmation in your life, and you're looking to them to validate your existence, to justify you, to tell you you're enough. In other words, your identity is built around what other people think of you. And that's the danger that Paul is pointing out here. The Judaizers want to use their harsh opinions to press you into doing the things that you want so they'll be happy with you. And he's saying Christ is going to emancipate you. He's going to free you from that kind of captivity. You don't need to be trapped in this approval-based identity where you just do whatever other people's, whatever their expectations are. And you're constantly overinflated when you get praise, and you're constantly being decimated in your heart because you've been criticized like that. Those wide amplitudes of soaring with praise and being crushed by criticism, those would be the symptoms that you're ultimately building your identity around the approval and affirmation of others. You're looking outside yourself to other people in order to know who you are. And that's super unhealthy. And it leaves you vulnerable, right? Because we've talked about this. There's no amount of affirmation you're ever going to get from some other human being that will ever be enough. You'll constantly be chasing it, and it'll keep you in their captivity. You'll be manipulated. Like, it's super unhealthy. You need a better identity than that.
You touched on two things that I think our listeners would like to hear a little more about, and that's criticism and praise. So how are we to respond to that? Is that there's a negative way to respond to praise? I mean, you're doing a really good job. This is a great program. You're an excellent pastor. You're an excellent senior pastor. You can stop me anywhere along here.
Keep it coming.
Right? So there's
yeah, there's flattery.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, there's probably an unhealthy side of both criticism and praise, right? There's praise is healthy. Flattery would be unhealthy, right? It's where someone actually has an agenda because of the positive words they're saying. Criticism, again, it's one thing to receive constructive criticism. It's another thing for someone to be critical and to be trying to tear you down, right? And I think what the Christian vision that Paul is laying out here is, you can have an identity that's in Christ that's based off of the affirmation that you have in Christ. You're a beloved son of God. You belong to the Father. You're secure as a child of God. So therefore, when people praise you, it's nice. It's a cherry on top. It's good to hear, but it doesn't go to your head in the same way because your identity is somewhere else, you see.
Yes.
And the same thing with criticism. It's one thing to receive a corrective word or feedback. It's like, you know, this could have been better. And you go, yeah, it could have been, and I can receive that and learn from it. That's helpful, but it doesn't go to your heart in the same way if your identity is in Christ. It's like, I know who I am. Nothing people say can touch that. I have the approval of the one person in the universe whose opinion matters at the end of the day. And so therefore I can process and filter the feedback. It doesn't have to wreck me, you know? And so it keeps praise from going to your head, and it keeps criticism from going to your heart. And I think that's the kind of healthy bearing that we need in order to actually receive feedback and grow. Otherwise, we're too defensive and we're too needy, you know, to receive it appropriately.
Yeah. The practical application of that is we got to consider the source. We want our affirmation, our approval, and our correctness, our correction, to come from Christ and the Holy Spirit and not from other people. I think this is so practical, Pastor Philip, because whether it's in the workplace or at school or associations and organizations that people are involved in, it's so easy to get pulled into this approval-seeking trap. It starts to define who we are, but what Paul is doing and what you're inviting us to consider is that if we can break these cycles, it's going to change how we relate to people.
Yeah, that's right. Because if our identity is rooted in Christ, if I know who I am in Christ and I live in the approval of my Heavenly Father, not because I'm perfect, but because Jesus is enough and he's my substitute,
yes.
Right? So therefore, I wake up in the pleasure of God every day, not because I'm worthy of that, but because Jesus is and I'm covered with his righteousness, then I know who I am. And so then I can go from that and actually start interacting with people out of fullness instead of neediness. I can interact with people in a loving, self-giving way instead of constantly needing validation. And it allows me to serve and sacrifice and give myself away in ways that are generous and kind and not nearly as needy. What happens for most of us is we go into the world and we're trying to find our place. And so there's just this huge sucking sound at the bottom of our souls. And we're just saying, validate me, approve of me, affirm me. Like, so we do all the things we do. That's our identity. We go out into the world and we form an identity in order to get those things. And so we're constantly, it's a sucking sound. Our needs are pulling in from the world. What we're talking about is if I have a totally different place for my identity, I know where I am, who I am in Christ. I know that in Christ I'm secure and I'm satisfied and I'm significant. Then I can go pour myself out in relationships. Instead of going into the world needy with the sucking sound, I can actually pour myself out. And I'm actually giving of myself now. So it utterly changes this identity formation. Once we understand how the gospel shapes who we are, it starts changing every relationship and all that we do.
Because that's never satisfied. I think our listeners can relate to that. If you're caught in that cycle, it's never a point where you receive enough.
Mm.
Right? You're always going to want more approval, more affirmation. It never reaches that saturation point where you say, I don't need another compliment. I don't need anybody else to say me.
Right.
It's just more and more.
Yeah. But when you have the affirmation of our Heavenly Father, whose word matters more than anyone else's word, right? The word of God that creates the world, the word of God that declares us righteous in Christ, that word has been spoken over our life. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. That's what the Father said of Jesus. And if we're in Christ, then those words apply to us. And that reality is if we have that affirmation, we have that approval from our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit, that gives us a whole new identity. And that identity is going to bear fruit in all of our relationships. It's going to change everything. That's what we need the most.
If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Our prayer for you is that you'll walk in your new identity, that you'll consider the source regarding criticism. That's why we're offering the book Be Joyful by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Joy is often stolen by people, by what they say and what they do or what they think of us. Dr. Wiersbe teaches us that the key to joy is found in our mindset within our circumstances and relationships. The secret is found in the word that is often repeated in Philippians. It's the word mind. Paul uses mind 10 times and also uses the word think 5 times. Now, you add the time he uses remember, and you have a total of 16 references to the way the believer thinks, our attitude, if you please. The moment we put ourselves first, we're going to face conflict. Now, this book shows you how to conquer joy stealing and find lasting fulfillment and peace in your identity in Christ. Now, these are the last few days we're offering Be Joyful. Don't wait. For a donation of any amount, now to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com or call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's livinghopeoffer.com, 1-800-215-5001. 215-5001. Or you can write to us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by
The Moody Church.